Welcome to part two of our conversation with Josh Morris about intense paranormal experiences. Let's talk about some of your investigative experiences when you started getting out there. What was your goal when you first said, I want to jump back into this and start a team and do all that stuff? I mean, everybody has, you know, kind of different mindsets on what they want to do. Some it's for entertainment purposes only, you know, and others, you know, there's a goal in mind. For you, what was it?
Fame and money.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. honestly, when my wife and I started to put everything together, my goal, my personal goal was just verification. I just wanted to know if there really was something on the other side. And I know sometimes people will hear the stuff I've experienced and say, well, shouldn't that have been good enough? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's never enough evidence for the skeptic, right?
Sure.
So I just wanted, as an adult, so to speak, now that I was in a different phase in my life, I wanted to start getting some answers from a different way. Because I looked back at those years and said, well, you know, some of my early stuff, I was a kid. And then the teenage stuff, I was a teenager. And who knows if I really, you know, maybe I wanted to see things. I don't know. Who knows? But in any case, I was like, I'm an adult now. I'm a big boy. So I'm going to, you know, start trying to do some things scientifically and start capturing some stuff. So that was my goal starting into this, was just some personal verification that, yes, indeed, there is some kind of afterlife.
What sort of verifications that stand out the most to you that you've...
The first time I ever decided that if you look at a needle, right? And a needle, like a gauge, and I would be fairly in the middle, maybe leaning a little bit to the non-believer side, believe it or not. And what kicked the gauge in toward the middle, but to the believer side, was the very first EVP, or electronic voice phenomenon, that we captured on recording. So that's what kicked me over the edge and said, okay, there is something beyond.
What happened with the recording? What sort of responses did you get?
So here's what it was. My wife and I, we started ordering equipment because we knew if we were going to have a team, we wanted to start documenting things. And this is before, again, when things really weren't really kicked off the mainstream.
Yeah.
As you're aware, some of the first reality shows on sci-fi, things like that, they really kicked off the craze and sort of made it a little more acceptable and stuff like that in the early 2000s, around 2004.
Sure.
On the same time frame, we were getting the tape recorders and we were ordering this stuff, going out and buying it. So when we got our very first digital recorders, we're talking the old one, you know, old school ones. We were like, okay, cool. We're going to do an EVP session in our house. That was like the first thing we wanted to do. So we did it in our own house. Because mm-hmm. again, when you hear these things, you want proof for yourself. You can't believe anybody.
Yeah.
Right? You can see it and you're like, ah, whatever. Maybe they're faking it. So what I did was we took our recorder and I went around, I turned off everything in the house. Like more, I mean, I even turned off the circuit breakers to the refrigerator. I mean, I turned off everything in that house. And so we sat down and I hit record and we started kind of, there was a little bit of scuffling going around and I wasn't quite ready. So I turned it off and it was like a 30-second little recording. Then after that, we did it again. And I'm like, okay. And I started asking questions. I was like, okay, I'm going to try to start asking whatever questions come to my mind. So we started asking questions, you know, is there spirit here, you know, all these things. So we did the sessions and went to my computer. I had, at the time, I was also a musician. So I had like a studio software on my computer that had, and I was able to listen and boost the audio like really loud in my headphones so I could hear.
Mm-hmm.
I turn it up and I'm listening. And the very first one I click on was the 30-second one, the one that was kind of the blooper. and you hear a little bit of scuffling, and all of a sudden you hear a childlike voice say something to the effect of, "We love this." And then you hear another little scuffle, and you hear a man's voice yell at the top of their lungs a word. Now, we don't know what this word is, other than it sounds like the word spirit. It's like when you hear them yell, it's like spirit. And that's what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
But you can clearly hear a word, a man yell something.
Yeah.
So for me, when we heard this, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and my wife was like, "Oh my God." And we played it over and over. And I tried to also run it through some of the software, maybe trying to boost it, clean it up a little bit, but it was pretty clean anyways, because it was dead quiet in the house. So for us to hear a childlike voice, and at the time we didn't have any kids in the house, for us to hear a childlike voice and a man yell, and we knew that I never yelled, for us, that really proved some things for us. It really proved, of course, EVPs, but since we did it in our own home and we controlled our environment, that's how we knew this must be real.
Had you had any other experiences in the house prior to this?
I think my wife probably, like, when you kind of go back, my wife is a little more sensitive than I am. She tends to sense more, like, in fact, to this very day, if we ever go out on an investigation, she's like the gauge where she kind of senses where the activity occurs, and most of the time is validated on it. So, but she's like the sensitive one. So I think she was experiencing things in the home occasionally. I think she even mentioned that she had seen a little boy cross the hallway one day.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a few minor things that were happening, but again, at that time, we really hadn't talked much about it. We were just like, "Hey, let's get some equipment." We were more focused on building the getting the equipment and getting the team together, like all the logistics side of things. We weren't really doing much actual investigations at the time. So then it was because of that first recording, we really started getting out of our house and then started hitting up and taking our equipment to other places.
Let me ask you about the idea of using equipment like that in your own house. Do you have any different opinion on that now that you've been doing this longer than you did at that time? Is there ever a risk involved with you know, kind of asking for something that's not there to communicate with you in a place that maybe you want peace?
Yes. I do have an opinion on it for sure, because I feel like if you're going to dabble in communication with spirits and things like that, you, and I talk about this quite often actually, and I tell people all the time, you have to open and close sessions. Okay. And I'm always respectful to spirits. I typically don't ask questions to gain any favors. It's usually just communication, but it's opening. You always want to make sure you open and close communication each session that you do. You never want to just communicate and then leave it open. That was some of the mistakes my wife and I made in the first, once we started getting into it, we started getting enough hauntings in our first couple homes to cause us to move. And finally, once we learned how to do that, you know, just like with anything, you have to learn along the way, then we were able to start closing things down. And now in the modern Eric time in our home right now, we can do sessions, but we can also close them down, and we tend to not have a lot of excessive hauntings.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You got to be aware of things of that nature so it doesn't, you know, turn into something. Is there ever a foolproof way of truly shutting something like that down? I know you can close sessions and things like that nature, of that nature, but if there's something that wants to stick around, do you truly have a say in the matter?
I feel like you do. We tend to have power over the afterworld. And we do, you know, I think if you don't believe in it, or if you're if you question that, if you're uncertain, then yes, you leave that door open, so to speak. You leave that possibility. But when your convictions are strong, you are able to, like, keep, you know, kick ghosts out. You know, like I said, we've been able to do that now for the last, I don't know, 2-3 years. It took a long time, but once you learn how to control it and kick spirits out and things like that, then you can. You just have to have that strong conviction, and you just can't have that doubt. If you have the doubt, then they will hang around because they know that doubt. They can sense that doubt in you.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Josh Morris about intense paranormal experiences. A big thank you to him for joining us on the program today and sharing his experiences with us. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.